some reason the aspect ratio isn't working quite properly this morning. All right, this morning I want to talk about identity theft. Not so much the physical. We're going to use that just as a platform here this morning. One of the interesting things that I've discovered as I prepared this message, go ahead and pass out the notes, yeah. Raise your hands if you want notes. If you guys run out, just take a couple of them back and make some more copies. So one of the things that I discovered was in 2024, identity theft cost the United States about $12.5 billion. That's pretty significant. But we'll talk about that more and how that relates to us. Here's a little story of what happens with identity theft. So, this lady's name is Anda Rhee. She's a mother of four children. This is in 2006. She left her wallet in her car, which was later broken into, and her wallet was stolen. The thief turned out to be a pregnant woman who was also a meth user. So she has this lady's driver's license and other papers, and she stole her medical identity. So she delivered, the meth user delivered her baby in the name of the identity that she had stolen, which resulted in a $10,000 hospital bill. Well, she also abandoned the child in the hospital. And so, you know, the authorities got involved, and they called this mother, the lady whose identity was stolen, they called her an unfit mother of her four children. And they almost took them away from her. So the implications of this could continue to haunt this woman for a while. The perpetrator had a different blood type than the lady whose identity was stolen. And so uncorrected and commingled medical records could potentially cause this woman to die if she ends up in the hospital and they give her the wrong blood. A healthcare provider might even prohibit her from reviewing her own medical records because they might not be in her name. Wow. What a mess. So this morning, Victor, you're under arrest for murder. How is Tom? We all know that he's not Victor. But no matter what any of us say here this morning, we are not going to clear Tom. What is it going to take for Tom to prove that he is not the Victor that we think he is? What's it going to take? Identification, right? And so we use the term ID, and it's just short for identification. But I want us to think about all of this morning, because this actually has a very, very strong spiritual application. So I want us to be thinking about this, because it is really, really important. Well, why did that want to do that now? There we go. So one of the things that you want to remember is that identity is the distinguishing character or personality of an individual. Now, one of the things about us is that each of us are unique. There is no clone anywhere on this earth for any of us. Our bodies are unique, our spirits are unique, and our souls are unique. We have our own imprint, our own pattern. There is no clone for you or I. So we want to think about this. In the physical world, have you ever had your identity stolen? I know some of you have on Facebook. You get false accounts. You know, all of a sudden your picture shows up and it says, this is you, and they're asking me to be your friend. And I'm like, no. And I look and I see, oh, this, they just became a Facebook member just a few weeks ago. Oh, that don't work. And I see they only have one or two friends. Like, oh, that's not. So I recognize that this identity is stolen. All right? Where does identity come from? Where's your identity come from? In a physical sense, where does it come from? It comes from your birth, right? You receive identification at birth. You have a birth certificate. You have then and further documents based off of that. You have documentation that gives you an identity. That's important. What's the purpose of identity? Why is identity so important? There's a lot of reasons when you stop and think about it. I mean, just a simple one. If your identity isn't proper and in place the way it needs to be, you're not going to get Social Security when you get to Social Security age. You have to have a proper identity. There's just so much here that relates to all of that. What proves our identity? Are we able to proclaim our own identity? Or does identity have to be proven? You go into any office and they say you need this, 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 and this in order for us to issue you this license or this whatever. What are they doing? They're determining your identity, right? Whether you're qualified, whether you're privileged to have this thing that you want. So how valuable is your identity? Pretty valuable, right? Because it gives you access and it gives you a whole list of things that are yours. So what's a true identity? Or what is a false identity? These are all things we want to look about this morning. Now, identity thieves, when we go to the spiritual realm, there is an identity thief. And I want us to look at that this morning. I want us to look at, we're going to look at a group of lives from the past, and we're going to look at our own lives. So Jesus said, the thief only comes to kill and to steal and to destroy. So this thief comes to steal, and one of the things that he wants to steal is your identity. He wants to steal that from you. Because when your identity is stolen, you lose access. You lose opportunity. And that's exactly what he wants to happen in your life. He was a murderer. He's a liar. Now, here's the thing. I want you to say this with me three times loud. God is always right. God is always right. God is always right. What is the chance of God being wrong? None. There is not a chance. He's right in everything that he says, in everything that he does, in every judgment he makes, in everything. He is right. And so when he says something about you, it is... named. You hear me? So what God says is always right. Now, I want us to go back all the way to the beginning and I want us to pay attention here. I saw something brand new in here that I had never seen before. Excuse me. So Adam and Eve, God comes and he creates Adam and Eve. Genesis 1:27. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. God is always right. And this is what God says. He created Adam and Eve in his own image. So Satan comes, the thief, to steal their identity. So he says to them, why don't you eat this fruit and you'll become like gods to know good and evil? Wait a minute. Ding, 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 ding. Something's not adding up here. What is it? What's not adding up? They're already made in the image of God. And so he's coming to them. God is always right. They were made in the image of God. And the enemy's coming to them and saying, you are not in the image of God. Here's what you have to do to get in that image. Yeah. Some reason I never saw that particular aspect. So the very first thing that Satan attacks when he comes against Adam and Eve is the fact that God is right and that God is good, and also their identity. Who are you? And I believe, I honestly believe, that that is what Satan attacks in every one of us today. Who are you? Now, let's just go through these examples pretty quickly here. So we have Jacob, or Israel. Jacob was called a supplanter or a deceiver based on the fact that he took hold of his brother's heel coming out of the womb. That's where he got his name. That's where he got his identity. Jacob lived out of that identity for a number of years. He lived as a supplanter, deceiver. He deceived his father. He supplanted his brother. Esau calls him different times that supplanter. He came and took what belonged to me and took it. Now it's his. I can't get it back. So even though God had chosen him from before he was born or from birth, he lived out of the identity that he was given by man of supplanter. So then his identity changed when he met God face to face. He wrestled there with the angel of God and wrestled with God, and he said, wow, I've seen God face to face and I'm still alive. But that moment, his identity changed and he became Israel, which means the Prince of God, or one who wrestles with God. Whoa, what a difference. Now, he is somebody valuable. Well, he was before because God had already chosen him. But he was living out of an identity that was a downhill slide. Now he's on the uphill track. So I want you to pay attention to this because this is important when we think about identity. There's Joseph. Where did Joseph get his identity? One of them. So he was the youngest son, or not the youngest son, but one of the oldest son of his mother Rachel. And he was a favorite of Jacob. But where did he get his identity as ruler? Where did he get that? Dreams. God gave him dreams. And God was telling Joseph, this is who you are. I'd like to just put this in there. I can't prove it, but it makes sense, and I think maybe it's correct, that Joseph never lost sight of the fact that he was ruler. That was his identity. His family didn't accept his identity. His brothers hated him because he was a favorite child. And they thought he was obnoxious, and they just couldn't stand him. But Joseph lived out of this identity until he became ruler. That's pretty amazing. Young people, God put something on your heart about who you are. Don't let anybody stand in the way of it. They can help you to learn and help you to grow in it, but don't let anybody stand in the way of it. God's called you to something, walk in it. And one of the reasons that I say that Joseph walked in that is you never find any time in Joseph's life that God was not with him. In Potiphar's house, God was with him. In the prison, God was with him. In the throne in Egypt, God was with him. God was with him, God was with him, God was with him. Why? Because he was walking in the identity that God had given him. And so God was with him all the time. It's just an amazing picture there. And then in the end, his family actually benefited from his identity, and they had to admit, oh yeah, our brother, he's the ruler. Because even before they recognized who Joseph was, you know what his brother said to Jacob when they went back and wanted to go back again for corn? They said, the ruler in Egypt. Oh, okay. A ruler. Wow. They didn't know it was Joseph yet. But when they came to know him, they still had to call him the ruler. They had to come under that. And Jacob had to come under that as well. Gideon, I love this one. What did God tell Gideon was his identity? Who was Gideon? When the angel showed up, Gideon was out there hiding in the wine press, threshing wheat. Who did God tell Gideon that he was? Man of valor. Did Gideon have any clue that that might be true? God is always right. So if God says, Gideon, you're a man of valor, what is Gideon? Man of valor. If God says, if you're in Christ, you're my son, what are you? Son. Daughter. Children of God. Why? Because God said so. That's the identity that he's given us in Christ, right? So we could go on a lot of things here, and we'll get to some of that a little bit more. Gideon had difficulty seeing himself as who God said he was. And so he goes on and he's fearing and questioning. An enemy soldier had to declare that identity to him before he actually believed it. But when he believed it, this caught me here a year or so ago when I was teaching spiritual warfare, and I was looking at this, and it's just amazing. Because here's Gideon. He's got all those men, 30,000. God says, send them home, send them home, send them home. Finally, he's got 300. And he goes down there, and he hears that enemy soldier tell what he saw in his dream. And he says, this has got to be Gideon, the guy from Israel. And Gideon's like, whoa. And all of a sudden, it hits Gideon. And he's like, this is who I am. And you know what he does? This always fascinates me. Because up until this point, Gideon's afraid. He's hiding. He's staying back. He's not going. But all of a sudden, when this comes on him, he takes off after the Midianites. And he goes down the road and he comes to Succoth. And he says, "Hey, we're fighting here. We are hungry. Give us some bread." And they're like, "Bah, bah, bah, bah." He says, we're going to bring back the two kings, the Midianite kings. We're going to bring them back. And they say, "Well, lots of people say lots of things." No bread. And Gideon says, "Look, I will be back and I will have the kings. And when I come back, I'm going to whip you guys with thorns out of the wilderness." He goes to the next town. He says, "Give us some bread." No. He says, "I'll be back. And when I do, I'm going to burn your town down, this tower." And he chases on and he grabs those kings and he comes back through, does just what he said. What happened to Gideon? Amazing. All of a sudden, he began to see that he was who God said he was. Wasn't who he thought he was. Wasn't who his family thought he was. Wasn't anything else. He was who God said he was. And when he took hold of that, wow. You just look at his life and watch that. Because here's Gideon on one side, fearful, giving all kinds of excuses, everything else. And here's Gideon on the other side, and he is a total different guy. Total different. David. God had given David an identity: shepherd, warrior, king. That's who David was. And it's amazing because his family rejected all of that. His brothers, remember when he went down there, when Goliath was there, and he went down there to take some cheese? And his brothers said, "What do you think you're doing down here, you little? Go home. Take care of the sheep. You're just down here because you want to quit taking care of the sheep and go see something fun." So his family rejected that identity. But David never forgot. And he walked in that. Because David lived in who God said he was, God made him very successful. How did David get the wisdom, the strength, all that it took, the courage to fight Goliath? How did he get that? Because he was living in who God said he was. A warrior. A mighty warrior. A little teenager. And here's this huge giant. And he doesn't stop for a minute. He doesn't even hesitate. He's like, "God has called me a warrior and he is with me, and you're going to die today. And I'm going to cut your head off." David was so successful in living in his identity that God chose him as the one, no others, the one who would have a successor in the kingship forever. That's pretty amazing. It tells me how important it is to live in the identity that God has put on us. All right, Jesus. Jesus knew who he was. So the thief, the enemy, came to God, and his first effort was to take away Jesus' identity. "If you are the Son of God." Who was Jesus? Son of God. He knew it, right? He was the Son of God. And no, you're not taking that away from me. That's who I am. That's where I live. That's where I walk. And it doesn't matter what you offer. It doesn't matter what you say. He knew who he was. And all the efforts of the enemy could not shake that. Couldn't touch it. Because Jesus was walking in his own identity. And he was able from that to obtain our salvation because he knew who he was. And he walked in it. He knew his identity in the Godhead. Now, what about you and I? Do you know who God says you are? I'm not going to take time this morning to ask you to tell me. But God has an identity for every one of us. If you don't know that, ask him. He'll tell you. Just get quiet before him. Say, God, can you show me who I am? Who you say I am. Not who all these other people are saying I am. Not who even my family says I am. God, show me who you say I am. He'll show you. How might your life be different if you knew who God says you are? Just think back about those we talked about. How would their lives have been different had they known or not known? I'm not talking about mental assent. I'm talking about heart. We know it's part of us. We rest in it. We walk in it. It's reality. What different would have happened with them? So, how have you allowed the enemy, the thief, or other people to give you an identity that God never gave you? Whoop, back up here. All right. I borrowed some of this from Neil Anderson's book, The Bondage Breaker. How many of you have the little bookmark that talks about our identity from Neil? Some of you do. I'd really encourage you guys to get that book and work through it. He talks a lot about our identity. But here's what I want us to look at this morning. So, who am I? Who does God say I am? And who does the enemy say I am? How does he try to take away from me what God has said? So God says, as a Christian, now this is not everybody, this is those who are trusting, who have come to faith in Christ. Everyone that's come to faith in Christ is a saint. Even though we sin, we never get past sin in this life. As a saint, we're declared righteous by God. Now, the enemy comes to us and he keeps telling us, you're a sinner because you sin. And what does he tell us with that? You might as well give up because you're never going to have victory over this in your life. You know what? If you believe that lie, it's not going to happen. But if you believe who you are in Christ, you can find victory. You can find freedom. It's possible. God says, you are who you are. You're my son. You're my daughter because you're in Christ. The enemy says, your identity comes from what you've done. Where does Israel's identity come from? From God. God says you're a prince with God. Even though all this stuff you've done. And the day God declared him prince with God, he became prince with God. And the stuff he had done was taken care of. I'd love to take a whole lot of time on this. But I want to put these things out here for you to think about. Because they're so key, so important. So, your identity is based on what God says about you. It's not on who everybody else says you are. The enemy wants you to believe that. Or who you even think you are. Look at Gideon. God says he's man of valor. He didn't think so. And the people around him didn't think so. But he was. Because God said so, and God is always right. So here's the deal. When we believe what God says about us and we walk in it, that determines our behavior. That changes our behavior. Gideon, look at that. Learn from that example. All of a sudden, Gideon believed he was a man of valor. And he's not hiding. He's not running. He's not begging God to send him more signs to believe. He's out there going and getting it. The enemy wants to convince us that our behavior tells us who we are. And so, you know, you're going along one day and all of a sudden you get angry about something. And the enemy comes and he starts telling you, yeah, see there? You call yourself a Christian. You're just a hypocrite. I don't know how many of you have been there, but I've been there. I see some of you smiling, nodding your heads. Yeah. The enemy has ways to try to convince us that we're not who God says we are. When we walk in who God says we are, there is so much there. Now, I want to just quickly, in closing, I want to look at this real quick. In Ephesians, he's talking about those in Christ. So number one, he says, I'm a saint. God says, if I am in Christ, I am a saint. God is always right. So if I'm in Christ, I'm a saint. God says so. So I can walk around calling myself a sinner all day long. God's calling me a saint. What do you suppose is going to change in my life if I start saying, yes, God, you're right, I'm a saint. Or if I keep walking around saying, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner. What do you think is going to change? Secondly, he calls me a child of God. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. What do you think is going to change if I work off of that? I'm a child of God. Well, that's going to affect my life in a big way if I start living out of that. I'm a child of God. I have access to God through the Holy Spirit. These are all things Paul's telling us there in Ephesians chapter 1, plus a bunch more. And here's an interesting one. He says, I am seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's not will be. It's not going to be. I am. I am. Right now. I am, as a child of God, as a saint, I am seated in heavenly places in Christ. That's a reality. That's true. That's who I am in Christ. What a difference that makes in life. When I start living out of that identity, oh, yeah, this world messes with me a lot, but I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ. Because of that, I'm victorious. I'm God's workmanship. I'm not something that just hatched. I'm not something that just mutated. I'm not something that just happens to be where I am and whatever. I'm God's workmanship. That's my identity. God was working on me. He brought me into being. He's continuing to work on me. I'm his work, and I am showing to the world the craftsmanship of God. That's who I am. And I can approach God freely and with confidence because of who I am. because of who He says I am. Now, if I come before God and I claim to be something that He doesn't say I am, then we got a problem. But if I come before Him because of who He says I am, wow. I'll just tell you, one of the things that happens in our lives is that we struggle. And when we face hardships, difficulties in life, and Connor and I have talked about this, and this is one of the things Connor's faced in his dark moments. Nights when he couldn't sleep, the enemy kept coming to him and saying, "No, you're not. No, you're not." And a lot of you have been there. When he comes and he says, "No, you're not." And you stand up to him and you say, "I am. God is right. You're a liar. I am. And I choose to stand in it. I choose to walk in it. I choose to believe God. You're a liar." And when we start coming at him real like that, he has to leave. He has to go. And I just challenge you this morning. Ask God who you are. Let Him tell you. And when He tells you, walk in it the rest of your life. Don't look back. Keep walking. Herod sent some people to Jesus and said, "I'm after you." Jesus said, "You go tell that old fox I'm here. And I'm going to walk today and tomorrow and the day following. What you say doesn't matter. My Father told me I'm going to walk. And I'm going to walk as long as my Father tells me to walk." And Herod, "No. No. I'm not scared of you. You don't have anything on me. I am the Son of God. And I am walking according to the direction of my Father. And you have nothing, nothing on me." And we can say the same thing to the enemy as well. The thief that's trying to take who we are in Christ. Let's stand together for prayer. Father, I thank you this morning that through Jesus Christ, you have made us your sons and daughters. You have made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. You have made us to walk in righteousness. You have called us saints. Lord, you have given us access because of our identity. All we have to do is say, "I am in Christ," if that's a reality. And we have access to all of heaven, all of Holy Spirit, all of Jesus, all of you, Father. And I just pray, Father, that each one here might recognize who you say they are. There's no one useless. There's no one discarded. There's no one of no value. Every one of us here today has been given an identity by you. And I pray, Father, that you help each of us to walk it out, to make it a reality, to tell the enemy to be gone, and just commit ourselves to walking in who you say we are, because you're always right, and we agree with that today, dear Father. Dismiss us now with your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.